Just because I'm saying it's spiritual, don't think that means it's mythological. No, it's a literal birth. It really happens. You don't see it happen. Men around us don't see it happen because our spiritual eyesight is not 20/20. It's certainly not 2015. It's probably 8200. Moreover, we can't even see it when it happens. When he got born again, when Larry there got born again, we didn't see it. As we sat around him for a while, we could finally tell it. But we never saw it happen. We didn't see the Spirit of God come in him and recreate, regenerate his dead spirit. We didn't see it. I was looking at him. The fact is, I wasn't even sure he meant it. But there was a way to tell. He was a hopeful convert. Hopeful. Time will tell, see. As time goes on, we begin to see some genuine fruit. I said, hey, he meant it. You know, last week when he asked Jesus to come in, he meant it. We can tell now. Didn't say never sinned anymore, Doug, but we can tell something's different. So Satan got control of the kingdom. Not by conquering God. Satan cannot conquer God. God created Lucifer. Lucifer is a created being. Sin transformed Lucifer into Satan. No creature can defeat his creator. But he sure could defeat the creator's creature that had a free will. And he did so. This happened about 6,000 years ago. Literally. That's how Satan got to be known as the God of this age, the prince of the power of the air. No. Not before Adam came to the garden. Do you know how? Listen. No. Dispensational teaching is wrong. No. See. If you go back and read Genesis, when God created everything in Genesis chapter 1, he clearly said, and it was all good. Yea, very good. Now, he couldn't have said that if Satan was there ruling. Can you all get that? Even if there had been an earth before and it had gotten, you know, destroyed by a flood that they tell us happened in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, the gappers. Now, for those of you that are gappers, please understand, I used to teach the gap. I mean, there's nothing, don't come up after me and trying to explain the wonders of the gap theory. No one reading Genesis chapter 1 would ever put a gap between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, unless you had been taught the theory of evolution and believed it, and were looking for a place to put a gap so that you could feel intellectually respectable. Now, for other people, enjoyed the gap because they couldn't figure where the demons came from, and that was a real handy place to have demons coming from. People that lived before Adam. They're the demons. No, the demons are the fallen angels. I'm not going to argue it. I'm not going to debate it. I'm not going to prove it. Couldn't really, literally prove it. Couldn't get too tough with that, Lee. But I will proclaim it. That is the fact. And if you don't agree, that's okay. We don't have to agree on that to get saved and to be in the same family. You know that? Isn't that nice? You don't have to agree with me every time. I am telling you what the facts are. For your, you know. I'm not always right, but about that one, I'm right. Okay? Now, it is absolutely imperative, therefore. Some of you wonder why Satan hadn't been removed already. God could remove Satan immediately. He could kill him immediately. He could destroy him immediately. He could send him to hell immediately. But hear me. To do this would be without due process of law. Satan has rebelled, and he is a sinner, he is a liar, and he is a murderer. From the beginning of the creation, he murdered. He killed Adam and Eve's spirit when he tempted them to rebel against God. From the beginning of the creation, he was a murderer by getting the sons of God to go with him in the rebellion and bring about their spiritual death, which will end up in the pit of fire, Revelation 20. Now, God isn't happy over that, y'all. In a sense, Satan is his prodigal son. And so are all the angels that fell with him, except they're not going to repent and come back. I didn't thwart God. He said he decided he wanted to have a big family. A third of the boys rebelled. I got a hunch. Now, I'm not going to press this too hard. I just got a hunch. If you want to know how many of them rebelled, I got a hunch that we're all taking their place. I got a hunch that the family of God is going to be remade in the exact size it was by the adopted sons. In other words, the number of children from Adam until the rapture, until the end of the millennium, that get saved will be the exact number of the ones that fail. That's not worth a new denomination over, you understand? You don't agree with it, you don't have to burn all my old tapes that you've got. write me a poison pen letter during the week. You know, it's just really in that. It's just really in that important. But I'm telling you, God has plans, and He's a precise God, and I've just got a hunch that that's the truth. And so I want you to understand you're immersed in the kingdom of darkness, but when you got adopted in the family of God, you became a member of the family of light. You died to the family of darkness, to Satan's family, and have been made alive into a totally new family. And as a result, though you're not completely restored, though we don't really see you glowing much, God does. You know why? Because the glow is mostly, an inside flicker. And it hadn't got through the flesh yet. Every now and then, you might spot it in somebody's eye. Every now and then, a flicker. On the inside, though, the glow is there again. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Shekinah. God, you know Shekinah. God has come to dwell. That's what the word Shekinah means, to dwell. He's come to Shekinah within His people. And so you're glowing. Problem is, you're not glowing in the image of God. You're not completely restored. See, your body, soul, and spirit, your body, well, it doesn't look like Jesus's when He took the image. And it doesn't look like Adam. I mean, five fingers, yes, but yeah, I mean, what a man. And your soul, your mind, your ego, your emotions, all that, it just isn't glowing. I mean, your ego and my ego, it has problems. It really doesn't reflect the glory of God very much. You know, a lot of times we want us to receive the glory instead of God to receive the glory. Doesn't that fallen nature stink? But Al Duhamel, you are glowing. It's not very bright, Al, compared to where we started. But Al, compared to where you started, it's glowing great. When we compare Al to where Adam started glowing, he doesn't look so good. But when we compare Al tonight to where he was a few years back, lost, not only in the kingdom of darkness, but a member of that family. And so God has now recreated us so that we are lasers of light walking in this dark planet. And so Satan and all the heavenlies, they see it. They can see the spiritual light. See, that light is inside us. It's a literal light. Oh, if you open us up surgically, you won't see it. You've got to have spiritual... Listen, y'all. Now, anyone listening to this tape that's a surgeon says, I've operated on lots of Christians, never saw any light in there. Listen to me. It's because we don't have spiritual eyesight. That's the kind of eyes you've got to have to see what I'm talking about. And the angels have those kind of eyes. And God has that kind of eye. And what I'm saying is, it's a literal light. But it isn't a physical light. And the spiritual world sees it. You just don't see. You don't see what a light you are. Satan does. And his favorite trick is to make sure you never get to a Bible study to find that out, Darlene. If only Satan, he knows he's lost you. You made that one decision. Yes, to Jesus Christ. You made it. Now Satan's next plan is to make sure you never find out who you are. And if you don't know that, you won't be who you are. You won't wield the sword of the Spirit. And so all through this dark, so God has you and me here as ambassadors. We belong to another kingdom, the kingdom of light. Now actually, this is our territory. In fact, God has told us this is our inheritance. We're down here, Jesus, we're down here participating in the war to get our inheritance back that our great, 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 granddaddy lost. Now we're not doing much fighting because our leader, our warrior prince, Jesus, has already defeated the enemy's leader. But we are warriors. In fact, tonight, hopefully, we'll get to see what kind of warrior you are. What we are is occupation force. He said, occupy till I come back. I've already whipped him. Problem is, he's got a lot of sons around, and they won't give up. And that's fine. I love them, too, and I'm hoping that you guys, through and with my spirit operating, that more of them will get saved, too. So I'm waiting a while to come back so that more will get saved because I've got an exact number in mind. That's in Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, I'm not slack and why I haven't come back. I'm waiting for more to get saved. Well, wait a minute, Lord. Waiting for more, the longer you delay, there's more of us also getting lost. Yes, but I've got a number in mind of the number of sons I want. It's going to take me 7,000 years to get them. To you guys, a long time. To me, an eye blink. Now, if you can see yourself like that, you're way ahead of the game. You're beginning to understand the awesome big picture of what's happened to us. And due to the hardness of our hearts when we read the Bible, we miss those kind of contexts. Mark chapter 6, verse 52, and Mark chapter 8, verse 17, God says, it was because the disciples had hard hearts that they didn't perceive when he gave them parables. Did you ever read a parable and you couldn't understand it? Me too. Want to know why? Hard hearts. As you allow God to deal with you, and when he says and shows you something he wants you to walk in, you immediately start walking in it, and you allow the Spirit of God to continue transforming you and renewing your mind, you will receive more light. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, Satan blinds the unbelievers to the glory of the gospel. You see, in the kingdom of darkness, Satan has a tremendous influence. Tremendous influence. But the problem is, Satan doesn't just blind the lost. Satan blinds us too to spiritual truths. Even after we're saved, he blinds us to spiritual truth because when we see the spiritual truth, we won't walk in it. I didn't say it's not enough to just say, I believe that doctrine. Thank you. No, that's not walking in it. When I tell you that the husband is supposed to protect and take care of his wife and provide for her, it isn't enough that you say, isn't that sweet? I believe it. No, you must do it. It isn't enough that you say, well, that we teach that the wife is to be in submission to her husband, not his slave, to be in submission. A proper heart attitude toward him as the head of the family, that God said he was the head, and that solved it. I mean, girls, that settled it. The issue is not for discussion. God said it. And anything, see, and when you don't like that, that's rebellion. Your heart's hard, and no wonder you don't understand scriptures. And when we husbands won't honor our wife as the weaker vessel, dealing with them according to knowledge, which every one of us husbands are guilty of from time to time. No wonder we read the scriptures and our wife comes to us, as Corinthians 14 said, and asks us a question, and we sit there and say, I don't know. That isn't the plan. God didn't want the wife to go ask you and you tell her no. God wanted her to ask, and you would be walking so close to him that as you read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit would just be revealing. And you'd say, oh, hon, I can't wait to tell you the answer to that one. I could go on and on about our hard hearts, but I want you to see what the problem is. So I want you to understand, we are in kingdom war. And you guys come to me, and people come to me all the time and say, Floyd, we don't understand what's going on. Why are there wars? Why is everything going wrong? Why is my child sick? Why did I lose my job? Why? Listen, if you understand that you're in the kingdom of darkness, I think things are going pretty good, all things considered. Once you understand this isn't our home, we're foreigners passing through. Our home is not this kingdom of darkness. It's after this kingdom of darkness has been restored again to the kingdom of light. Yeah. There's only one way to do it. It's by conquest. It was taken by conquest. A man was whipped. Therefore, a man had to come and take it back. No angel could take it back because no angel had been given authority to rule planet Earth. A man was given that authority. Man lost it. Man had to come get it back. And that's why God, precious God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of the Old Testament, not a God of the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah himself, not one of the gods, the God, became a man. Though he never quit being God, he came and conquered the prince of the power of darkness purely as an unfallen man, just like Adam could have done. Adam could have won because man was created a little lower than angels. We're in war, and the attack comes from the outside, from the kingdom of darkness, through our flesh, our weak spot. It feels so good. I just got to try it. And Jesus, see, the attack comes from the outside, but Jesus is on the inside. And I want you to notice here in Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me there at verse 12. We read this already. But I want you to see here in verse 12, he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. In the heavenlies, the prince of the power of the air that God created around the earth. Now, please notice that. Can I put you at ease? Notice it does not teach here that our struggle is against the brothers and the sisters. I thought I'd point it out. The struggle isn't against those stinking Pentecostals. See, they're part of the family. The struggle, see, it says the struggle is against principalities, wickedness in heavenly places, not against the Baptist. Not against the Lutherans. I want you to observe, it doesn't say the struggle is against, it doesn't say we wrestle against our wife. Or our husband. See, when you think it's your husband, you don't know anything. When you think it's your wife, you're still in ignorance. And we're falling into the trap as the powers of darkness laugh, as two of the great lasers of light are struggling one with another. And the great light that's inside us gets dimmer. It doesn't go, nyeh, nyeh. It's, nyeh, nyeh. That's called, now, biblically, we call that grieving and quenching the spirit, Margaret. I want you to keep one finger here at Ephesians, but turn very quickly with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look with me, if you would, at verse 17 through 20. Find out who you are. What's going on? See, you guys, you'll make it. You can make it if you just know what's going on. You can make it through any temptation and any trial. God's already told you He'll make a way, and the main way He's provided for you is, number one, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, but number two, by giving you the Word of God so that you can find out who you are and what the real issue is. So that you can look beyond your circumstances and the circumstances around you and really perceive, just like Job. Job couldn't see what was happening in heaven, but God has written it down so that you can see what's going on spiritually around you. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, of course, created out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, out of the family of Satan into the family of God, adopted into the family of God by the new birth, by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God who has reconciled to us, or us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now I know why you're still here, Jay. That's why you're still here. You've got the ministry as a ray of light of reconciliation to the lost. You were lost. You know the lost. They were your buddies, your family. Of course your family, the family of Satan. I don't care whether you were a Jones or a Riley or a whatever. Smith, Brown, doesn't matter. Finley, all the family of Satan. In other words, my name was Floyd Nolan Jones Satan. Had his name. Your name was Joe Finley Satan. We were all that family. Now my name is Floyd Nolan Jones Jesus. I've got his name, Christian. Okay? And so see, he says, now I'm leaving you guys here for you to do your ministry. And everybody says, I've got a ministry, Floyd. My ministry is, oh, and you got all kind of fancy names for it. My ministry is, oh, Floyd, why it's your ministry? I tell you what every one of us's ministry is. The ministry of reconciliation. Telling everyone that God is willing to bring us all in. He's not mad at us. He wants us to come home to Him. That the sons are in rebellion and He wants the sons to come home. Now, right now, my ministry of reconciliation is as I do reconciliation, as I teach and as I witness. Now, many of you don't teach, but you witness. So you also have a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, that God was, now here's the ministry of reconciliation, that God, here's the gospel. Here it is. Here's your ministry. You want to know what it is? That you minister this to other people. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, because that's true, we are ambassadors for Christ. All right, I told you, stop. Kingdom thinking. We must be kingdom-oriented people or else we're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians. The church has totally failed us because the church does not emphasize kingdom-oriented thinking people. You are members of the family of the kingdom of light. Those of you in this room that have given your heart to Jesus Christ. Which means we're all adopted into the same family. God is all our Father. Jesus is our older brother in this kingdom. Speaking about Jesus with his glorified body, not in his eternal state as God. And that once you comprehend that, we're family. But you see, Satan is smart. He knows how to divide us. All he's got to do is change the names. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. And we begin to think denominationally instead of kingdom thinking. We have organizations. All organizations are against the kingdom of light. And so, desperately, we need each other. Because we are the body of Christ. How can a body do without the fingernail? You say, well, I don't miss my fingernail so much. You get one pulled off, you will. From that moment on, man, it's sensitive around there. How can the body function without all of the body? And Satan, you know, isn't that good? And what it panders to our pride, too. And eliteness, the sin of eliteness. When you get wise enough, you can join the class with us grayheads. Isn't that great? I'm saying this to you because I want all of you listening to me. Many of you have leadership positions in your church. And listen, I know they may not follow you, but you've got to at least be the voice that tells them, hey, something's wrong here. And if they won't listen, you did your job. Listen, don't get defeated. Some of you go and tell people things I teach you and things that you find out from God, and people don't listen to you, you get so despondent. Don't you understand that most of the things I teach people, nobody ever does it? You think I'm defeated? No, I read the Bible. They almost never did what the prophets told them to do. Did that alleviate the prophet of the responsibility of giving the message? God didn't tell that prophet, now you go get your sword and a battle axe and you beat them till they do it. What are you guys doing to each other? What are we doing to each other? You are going to believe in speaking in tongues or I'm going to brain you. And the Baptist in here says, yeah, you tongue-speaking, dirty old Pentecostal. You demon-speaking, tongue-speaking, I'm going to grab you and straighten you out. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? Wait a minute. Ephesians 6:12 says that the enemy was over yonder, not in here, in the family. This is family. Family needs each other. We need each other. And we're in a war. God says we're here as ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? He is a person representing another kingdom. Another power. Let me tell you the exciting thing about us. We're in another kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, which really is a piece of the kingdom of light that just happens to have the light turned out. And so we are ambassadors of a more powerful kingdom.
Yeah.
That's why they better not treat us too bad. We'll tell our daddy. And you ever called on daddy for help when people were mistreating you? I learned that when I was a little boy. Daddy! Did you ever do that? Everything going wrong? You don't have to learn how to pray. You already know how. Help!
Amen.
You don't have to worry about the words. Dad understands. So you're ambassadors in this kingdom. I want you to see that. You saw your weapons here in Ephesians chapter 6. There's other weapons mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You're near that. Just read that with me. 2 Corinthians 10. You've got the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation. All these weapons here in Ephesians chapter 6. Nearly all of them are defensive weapons that are mentioned there except the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we see some other weapons, and it describes our weapons. It says here in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Yeah, we're in the kingdom of darkness. We don't do our war this way. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. We're not going to shoot the Baptists with a gun. We're not going to shoot the Pentecostals and the Catholics with guns. That's what the Catholics tried to do to the Protestants, kill them with guns and knives and swords. That isn't how God wants us to conquer. He said, well, golly, I thought Protestants killed them. I'm talking about the Inquisition when 68 million Protestants were put to death by torture. No wars. I'm not talking about wars. You say, oh, Floyd, you shouldn't say that. I'm a Catholic and I feel terrible. Did you do that? Did you do it? Did you kill 68 million? Then why do you feel so bad? You shouldn't feel bad. They did that before you even born. Just don't go bragging anymore. Just don't go bragging. That'll take your pride away from you. Good. Now you can be part of the family. Instead of a group, instead of an organization that says, we're the only way to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying it for a reason. I'm hurting you for a reason. That group is trying to make you trust them and divide the body of Christ where your loyalty belongs to them and your fear is through them instead of loving God and being part of the family. And any Protestant here that hates Catholics because 68 million Protestants were killed, I'm not even a Protestant. I'm other. See, I'm trying to teach y'all something. I'm not Protestant, I'm not Catholic. Label me other. I'm a member of the kingdom. I am a member of the family of God. I'm a member of the kingdom of light. I will not wear any other label.
Right. Amen.
And I'm trying to make you ashamed to. I didn't say you couldn't go to the Baptist church and worship. Just don't ever call yourself a Baptist anymore. You're a member of the family of God. You belong to Jesus. You don't belong to the Baptist.
That's right.
Did the Baptist church die on the cross? If they did, you belong to them. If they didn't, you don't. Now for you Baptists here, I'm picking on y'all the most since I'm one, officially. And if I'll pick on us, then the rest of them ought to be able to handle it. And for you Catholics, my mother's a Roman Catholic. I understand. And do you understand I love Mama? Okay? She's heard me say this too. No, she didn't like it too much either the first time. But it kind of wore on her. Listen to me. No prophet ever gave a message that the people wanted to hear or liked when he gave it. No Bible teacher teaching what God gave him to teach is popular when they say, but as you think about it, it'll wear on you. You'll come to your senses and you'll see how desperately we've got to stick together. You better stick together. You're surrounded. Let me give you an example of this. I experienced this my own self in living in Europe. But I heard this, a similar story to what I experienced. And the story is shorter, more concise than my own. So I'll give you. I heard a little Argentine preacher. He was an Argentine and he was visiting over in Japan. And he said, you know, it was terrible. He said, I couldn't read anything. He said, at least, you know, when you go to some countries, they use an alphabet that looks like ours. He said, but man, I looked at their signs and I couldn't read anything. He says, they're so different from us. He said, here in America, we eat in public. You go to Japan and you go to a restaurant and sit down and they put a little bamboo curtain around you and you eat all by yourself in this little bitty place. But here in America, when we go to take a bath, we go into a room that's private. And when you go to Japan, they let all the public in. He said, now, I just wasn't adapting to this very good. And he said, you know, the language had him thrown and he couldn't find his way around and he'd ask people and, you know, they'd tell him 60 miles an hour in Japanese. And all of a sudden, he was walking down the street and he saw a little woman that kind of looked like he looked. You know, Argentine kind of looked like Spanish American, you know, Mexicans to us, Spanish American people. And they speak the same language. And he looked at her, and she looked at him, and he said, are you? And she said, are you? And he says, yeah. And she was a missionary. And he was a Pentecostal preacher. And she was a Baptist missionary. But they didn't find that out at first. They were so thrilled to see someone that looked like them. They hugged and embraced, you know, and very quickly they found out that both of them, he said, well, what are you doing here? Are you on vacation? Oh, no, I live here. Oh, you live here? What do you do here? I'm a missionary. You're a missionary? Then you must know Jesus as your Savior. Yes, I know Jesus as my Savior. Do you love the Lord? I love the Lord. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. Praise the Lord. I'm a preacher, and I believe every word in the Bible. Oh, and they hugged and they embraced, and moreover, he was so thrilled because she knew the town. And she had been there so long, she knew the language. And he stuck to her. You know, if they had run into each other in Mexico or in Argentina, she'd have been a stinking Baptist. He would have been one of those demonic tongue speakers. He would have tried to put her down that she isn't saved till she speaks in tongues. She would have told him to stick it up his ear because she knew she was saved. The Spirit of God in him was bearing witness that he was born again. And they would have hated each other. Isn't that glorious? But you see, in a foreign land, they were so thrilled to find someone that spoke the language. that was like them. You and I are in a foreign land, the kingdom of darkness. Our home is the kingdom of light. You ought to be so glad to find another brother or sister. You ain't got time to argue with them and to argue with them. And they didn't. They never did. They loved each other. Now, back over here in the States, back in South and Central America, Argentines, they're the high class. They're the upper crust. When you see an old Fernando Lamas movie, you never see, or who's the guy? Ricardo Montalban. You'll never see either one of them ever play a Mexican. That's not high class enough. It's got to be an Argentine. Maybe Brazil. But never. Yuck. A Mexican. I mean, to see, to those people, they're the blacks to them. If you're over in Mississippi or in Louisiana or here in Texas, they're lower class. But they're in Japan. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They found their family. And as that preacher said, he said, she may have been a Mexican, but she looked like my mama to me. That's the way it ought to be when the family of God sees each other. The weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings, arguments, casting them down. We're not going to argue. We're going to love each other. We're the same family. I ain't got time to argue doctrine. We don't agree in doctrine. Fine. We don't agree. Hallelujah. But we do love Jesus. Yes. Believe the Bible. Yes. Well, let's talk about that.
That's right.
Casting down arguments or reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. What are these weapons of our warfare? What are the spiritual weapons? They're not carnal. Listen, nobody sees them. They don't see it. It's not a bullet. It's not a gun. It's not a cannon. What are they? Well, they're the Word of God. They're the name of Jesus. That means the authority, the power of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. These things release power. They release the weapons of God. Such as, what releases the power of God in our life? These weapons of our warfare. How about prayer? How about prayer?
Right.
How about testimony? You ever give your testimony and have people get saved? You bet. Many of you could say that. That releases the power of God. Faith. Our faith in Jesus releases the power of God. Praising God releases the power of God. But not if you're praising Him in order to get Him to act, because then you're not praising Him. May I say that again? If you're praising God for the purpose of trying to get God to give you something or do something wonderful for you, then you're not praising Him. Praising God means you're praising Him just because He's God, whether you die or not, whether you get well or not, whether you lose your job or not. Otherwise, you're trying to coerce Him and bribe Him and wheedle Him and mind control Him. If I can only praise hard enough and long enough. Don't you understand what's wrong with the faith teachings? What we're saying is, if only I can believe, oh God, you're going to have to do it because I have got my faith up. Now you're not asking for grace. You're standing there in arrogance saying you deserve it and have earned it. You're asking to be rewarded on the basis of works. I have worked up my faith, so God, you got to do it. Listen to me. All the gifts in the Bible are called charismatic gifts. And if you're sick and you're trying to come to God on the basis of getting your faith up, you better understand something real fast. It isn't how much faith you got, it's who you put it in, number one, and number two. They're grace gifts. Charismata, the word charismatic means grace. All Christians are charismatic. All Christians, the Bible says, have been given grace gifts. Now, I am not a charismatic, but I have charismatic gifts. You said, I thought Brother Floyd was a charismatic. I already told you I'm a son of God. I'm not charismatic.
Amen.
Now you're trying to make a Baptist out of me, a Pentecostal out of me, a Methodist, or a Presbyterian, or a Lutheran, or a Catholic. I keep telling you, I'm not going to wear those labels. To possess charismatic gifts doesn't make you a charismatic. Makes you a son of God. The children of God have gifts. You say, I didn't know children of God had gifts. I'm not talking about talent either. I'm talking about supernatural gifts from God. Lost Russians got talent. We're not talking about talent. We're talking about supernatural gifts from God. And the Bible says all Christians have them. You say, well, I've never noticed that I had any. Look, did your daddy ever give you something for Christmas and you never used it? Didn't mean you didn't have it. that's sitting out there on the table. God has prepared a banquet for us. He's sitting, everything's sitting on the table. The question is, will you receive it? The gift's sitting right there. Will you receive it? Will you open it up? Got a yellow ribbon on it. But it's there. Got your name on it. No, if you praise God to get him to do something, you're not praising because your motive in your heart's not right. Releasing weapons of God. How about preaching the gospel? Would you say that would release the power of God, unleash the power of God? Let me say this. Listen to me. The early church didn't preach like we preach. I've got to get something over to you. The emphasis in the church and the emphasis in your life must be, if we're going to proclaim the ministry of reconciliation, then we've got to proclaim the gospel of Jesus and the kingdom. Not explain it, proclaim it. That's the trouble. We spend too much time trying to explain it to people that are lost. You don't explain it, you proclaim it. And then, beloved, it's believe it or perish. Just like Jesus himself said in Luke 13:3, repent or perish. No preacher in the Bible preaches like the sermons you hear today. You never hear any of those. They're taught, even the young men that go to seminary, they're taught to preach with just tactics of the world that have nothing. The early church never preached like preachers do today. They converted people by merely telling the stories of Jesus. They just told the stories. They didn't argue them. They just gave them. And when they told those stories, in other words, listen, a tremendous revival broke out sometime back when a young boy in a meeting got up and just opened his Bible and began to read out loud the Gospel of John. What I'm trying to get you to understand is when you tell the stories of Jesus or recite the Scriptures, saving faith comes. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing, the kind of hearing we're talking about, that kind of hearing isn't physical hearing. It's spiritual hearing. It's not when it passes in one ear and out the other. It's when it really takes root inside them. And that kind of hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by some of the miserable sermons many of us have heard. You couldn't save a titmouse with some of those sermons. Gracious! Spend 15 minutes telling you what the world system, what the world situation is. Reading, I had a preacher that was lost, but a preacher over in Europe. He used to bring us messages from Pogo, the funny book, because may as well he didn't believe the Bible. Turn with me quickly to Ephesians 3. Read with me, if you would, verses 14 through 20. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Did you see that? The whole family in heaven and earth. See, we're sons like their sons through the new birth. Once you listen, please understand that once it's all over, you'll be just as much a son as they are. Because you'll be completely restored back to the original image, and you'll never use your will against God again, therefore you'll be just like them. And you'll never experience physical death, therefore you'll no longer be a little lower than the angels. You will be every bit as much sons as the created ones, exactly like them. Now I want you to read the Bible and start noticing what those cats can do. That's your inheritance. Okay? Hallelujah. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now listen, Jesus is on the inside. So in this war that we're in, everything that is not light, Jesus, is darkness. Do you hear that? There is no gray. There's no demilitarized zone in this war. It's sin or it's not sin. It's of Jesus or it is not of Jesus. It is black or it is of the darkness or it is of the light. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. That's what we're doing tonight. We're trying to comprehend it. With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled. Well, goodness, if it says that you may be filled, that would imply some of us aren't filled. Did you see that? You don't necessarily get filled when you get saved. Hopefully you will be like Cornelius, but you may not be. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Did you see that? According to the power that works in us. That's where our power is. That's where that is coming from. It's that power, the glory of God that's in us. Turn with me, beloved, though, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Because I want you to see that the Scriptures are bearing out what we're talking about. I've been telling you you're surrounded by the kingdom of darkness. I've been telling you there's a spiritual war going on. That it isn't your wife, it isn't your mother, it isn't your boss, it isn't the Baptist, it isn't the Methodist. It isn't the Russians. Two families are at war. Two kingdoms are at war. And everyone in one kingdom belongs to the same family, and everyone in the other kingdom belongs to another family. And there's no gray. The attacks come from the outside, from the kingdom of darkness. Jesus is on the inside. He's your strength. He's the source of your power. Now look at chapter 2, verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians. Or rather, verse 18. Therefore, Paul says, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but, Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us? Well, Paul, you just didn't understand the faith teaching. You should just bound him. I would have taken care of him. Now, don't tell me Paul didn't know about Scriptures on binding. They'd already been written, spoken. He knew all about that. Something's wrong with the way they're teaching it. I'm always amazed. You go to a church and this preacher, he binds the devil. Then you go back there the next Sunday and he binds him again. Now, how'd that happen? Who unbound him in the meantime? What'd that preacher do? Finish his sermon and says, okay, Satan, I unbind you now. Why did he unbind him? See, foolishness. Satan hindered us. The great apostle Paul was hindered by Satan. This is his kingdom. It was. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. He's the prince of the power there. Satan has incredible power. Satan is more powerful than we are. Man was created an unfallen state.